Ladies and gentlemen, the program you're about to hear should not necessarily be taken seriously. Right, here we go. Yes, a very, very good day to you, James Whale and the James Whale Radio Show with you once again. And may I say, it's lovely to have you there, sitting wherever you may be, walking. I don't know what you're doing at the moment, maybe working out in the gym, driving a car. You might, where Rob, could they be while they're listening to the program?
In the bath.
In the bath, you could be in the bath, sloshing around, or in the shower. It's amazing where people are who listen. That's a good thing about listening, you see. You can't always do it with pictures. Sometimes you just have to let your mind paint the pictures for you. So have we had a good week, Robbo? Have you been behaving yourself?
Do you know, this week has just disappeared. I don't know what's happened this week.
I'll tell you what's happened. You're getting old, mate. That's what's happened. When the weeks disappear, it means you're getting old.
I feel young, though. I'm in my head, I'm about 24.
Really? Yes, well, I suppose in your head, you might be. Heads lie, don't they, from time to time. To all those people, I've noticed how many people are now doing their own podcast radio shows. It's beginning to really mount up, isn't it? There must be thousands now.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. I think before long, this will be the only form of radio, won't it?
The way it's going, yes. Pick and choose what you like.
Whether we live long enough to see that, I've no idea. Oh, and I watched this week, I watched Prime Minister's Question Time. One of the questions that came up was about the children on their own in Europe that are fleeing the stupidity, the religious stupidity that goes on. Do you know, I'm getting more and more sick of this as we go on. And people's beliefs. Now, you can believe whatever you like. I mean, you believe you're a, what are you? What's your belief?
A Jedi, I suppose.
Oh, yes, you're a Jedi, yes. Just as bloody stupid as all the rest. Anyway, so you're a Jedi. There are Catholics and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and all sorts. And, you know, I've never understood whether, I can't get my head round, and somebody might be able to help me with this, whether being Jewish is a religion or a nationality. Judaism is the religion, isn't it? And Jewish is the nationality.
Yes. What?
Yeah, I think that's how you, because I mean, I know a number of secular people who are Jewish.
Okay.
I think so. They don't like to tell their families. They just confess that to me. So anyway, religion, and just, you know, here we are. We've got people now. People blowing themselves up, or have blown themselves up, or are killing people and behaving in the most disgusting and vile ways, a bit like the, I suppose, a bit like the Crusaders did back in the Middle Ages. And I thought we'd progressed further than that, because they've got some warped, stupid, ignorant idea that if they do these things, they're going to go to somewhere called paradise and have it off with how many virgins, with I don't know, 70 virgins or something. Well, how many is it?
Is it 72?
Oh, is it? I don't know. I should listen to these things when I'm going to talk about them. But brings me around to watching Prime Minister's Question Time and then just looking at the arguments in Parliament. I mean, some of the people in Parliament really, I wouldn't trust them with being a milk monitor. Do they have milk monitors anymore?
I think they do, yeah, in schools.
Oh, right, okay. But just the arguments here, the yelling at each other about why aren't we doing something, and once they say, well, we are doing our stuff. And when I see news report, if you watch all the news channels, you get it's funny, isn't it? And you get a completely different take on what's going on in the world. Now, there seem to be an enormous amount of children in various parts of Europe, and whether or not you know, that need looking after. Why can't we in Europe, why can't we sort this problem out at this particular moment in time? Why on earth is it taking us so long whilst we see these poor families. I'm not talking about, you know, people say, oh, the young men. Well, just talk about the women with their children, 800 or so who drown in the Mediterranean a week or so ago and continue to do so. Sometimes it doesn't even make the news. And I don't know, none of us seem to be that bothered, are we?
I'm bothered.
Yeah, but we're not, are we? Because you and I are just sitting here talking about it. I mean, what can be done? I don't know. I don't suppose you and me going somewhere and you know, we wouldn't be allowed to go. But surely the authorities should be getting a better handle on it than they are. I don't know. It just makes me very sad. Here we are in the 21st century. And people's belief systems, and as I said, you know, people, you can believe whatever you want. That's fine. I mean, the problem is, and the problem always arises, when one person wants their beliefs to be paramount. I think there's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
And the other beliefs are to be, you believe anything you want. Believe the moon is made out of cream cheese. I don't really care. But when are we going to, you know, how long is it going to be, or is it never going to happen, that we are going to learn respect for our fellow man and woman? Are we ever going to learn respect for our fellow man and woman? Or are we always just going to behave in the way that we do now?
Sadly, I think the latter.
Do you? Mm. Well, it worries me greatly. And all I can see is you go from one nutcase to another. You know, one nutcase can shout very loudly, so people, a lot who are like sheep, decide to follow that nutcase until another nutcase shouts louder and then they follow him or her. And it's just, you know, people don't want to make decisions. I suppose that's why a large amount of us don't turn out to vote in elections or referendums in this country. But then we moan about it afterwards. You know, democracy is supposed to mean that we all have a say. And the way we have a say is going out and voting. And unfortunately, in the countries that are less intelligent than we are, if we are intelligent, get fed up with it. And then they start fighting each other. And they're doing it now, today. Countries, you know, on this planet, still killing each other to try and settle differences. Why don't we make politicians do the fighting?
That's a good idea.
Because they're the ones who start the wars. If you and I don't start wars, you know, we go to other countries for a holiday. We don't start fighting with foreigners on beaches, do we?
No.
No, it's the flipping politicians. They start the wars. Now, if you're going to be a politician, then maybe if you fall out with another country, say Putin falls out with Cameron and they get all upset and get very concerned, then maybe it's Putin and Cameron. Mind you, I wouldn't want to put my money on Cameron. I think Putin's quite tough, isn't he?
He's very tough, yes. He rides horses and things.
But that's what has to be done. So maybe then we're looking at a leader who has to have fairly good fighting skills.
Why don't we do what the kids do in the playground and have them playing cards like top trumps?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Top trumps, and then whoever wins, that you get their way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know why mankind continues to argue. I mean, I suppose a lot of it has got to do with the fact we like to take I mean, we're a warring breed, aren't we? That's why we all have invaded other parts of the planet. We couldn't stay in our own back garden. We have to try and expand, don't we?
The grass is always greener.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I've depressed myself at the beginning of the program.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I knew I shouldn't have done. But is it going to make any difference? Are we ever going to try and help? You know, we've harked backed a lot over the last year or so about the anniversary of the wars we fought and triumphed in. Well, here's something to think about. The First World War was complete nonsense, didn't achieve anything. And had we had technology and radio, people probably wouldn't have gone off to fight in a war which really was about nothing when you think about it.
Yes.
Second World War, obviously, Hitler needed to be stopped controlled. But some may say we let him get away with too much too soon. I don't know what the answer is. Once somebody like Hitler raises their ugly head, then they have to be stopped. You know, same way. And at the moment, with the problems going on in the Middle East, it's difficult to know where they are and who they are because of the sort of war. But things are getting no better, are they?
Nope.
Yeah. I know you don't want to talk about this, really, but it's on my mind, so I thought I'd just get it out.
That's fine. You get it off your chest.
Yeah, get it off my chest, yeah. Let's talk about something serious.
Okay.
Let's talk about something sensible. What colour sheets do you have?
At the moment, I think the yellow.
Yellow is good. Yellow is good. I have white. I like a crisp white sheet at night.
Right.
But there will be people out there who have red or black sheets, and apparently red or black sheets are not safe.
Why?
Well, because it's the red or the black sheets that attract the bed bugs.
So the bed bugs are walking past the bedroom window, they see the black sheets and thinks, that's my new home.
Black or red?
Right.
They're not that bothered. They like them. So I asked this question earlier in the week. Kelly T. Walker said, my black sheet now is being thrown out because she didn't know. She didn't know. She's getting rid of her black sheets. Andy Eva says, cheers, big man. Don't know what I would do without you. Andy, my pleasure. Get rid of the black and red sheets because they attract bed bugs. Ian Radford, now he's interesting because he sleeps on rubber sheets.
Well, it's probably a medical condition.
Yeah. Well, I think he has a nurse in attendance at all time.
Hmm.
Yeah. Gary Elmo, mine were white once. Now they're a kind of greyish brown. Make great surfboards, though. Oh, my golly gosh. That's another point. How often do you wash your bedding?
Oh, at least once a year.
Yeah, whether it needs it or not.
Hmm, definitely. Yeah.
Pauline Codd says, my bugs have no preference because they're lazy buggers. That's quite funny. I must remember that. Janice Coleman says, yippee, I can go back to pink. Perfect excuse to tell the hubby.
Ooh.
Yep. Janice, once they want to what?
Well, pink's very close to red.
Pink is very close to red, but I think pink's okay. It's when it gets deep and dark, the bed bugs settle in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a couple more. Danny Costello says, bed bugs are evil. I once encountered them when I was in Catford. Ah, those B&Bs in Catford, you've got to be very careful. Marilyn Child says, I'm in grave danger of them because I only do red and black. Yeah, I've had to tell Mrs. W to get rid of our red and black. What about the red and black wallpaper in our boudoir? I suppose that has to go too.
Do bed bugs do wallpaper?
I don't know. Do bed bugs bite?
Not if you don't mind them.
There's a rhyme there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Do bed bugs bite in the... Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, we must say hello to those of you joining us from new radio stations every week. Nice to have you with us, wherever you may be. And if you found us for the first time, nice to have you here. Don't forget jamesworldradio.co.uk, our website. Check it out. Commercials are on there.
There are, yes.
I'll tell you what I found as well on Twitter. I found last year or year before, I did this book show.
Yes.
Do you remember the book show I did?
I remember the book show, yes.
Mm. And there's one of them being tweeted out at the moment. We'll have to get it and put it on our website, which has got, I think it's got an interesting interview I did with John Nicol. You remember the navigator who was shot down over the Iraq in the first Gulf War and paraded, of course. He and John Peters, his pilot, were paraded on television before they were locked up by the Iraqis and kept hostage, I think, for about 10 weeks.
Yes, I remember it.
Yeah. Well, in fact, we've had him on this show. But
we have.
It's a good video interview, which I think we'll put on the website, shall we?
Yeah. Didn't you do a book show with the Wedding Fairy as well?
I did. I think I did a book show with it. Can we get those and put them on the website?
Yeah, I'll hunt them down. I'm sure they're around.
Hunt them down. Yes, hunt them down. In the meantime, there's always the shop and various other things to look around, of course, on our website at jamesweilradio.co.uk. Right, time for a bit of music. Don't forget, by the way, if you would like to appear on the programme, then all you have to do is get in touch, jamesweilradio@gmail.com. Send us your music and we can give it a spin. Well, if we like it, we'll give it a spin.
Yep.
I'm still looking for really great reggae bands.
Yeah.
We don't get much reggae, do we?
It's I don't think it's called for much in the modern...
Of course it is. Don't be ridiculous. Reggae's coming back with a vengeance, let me tell you.
Okay.
What do you think? What do you think of this piece of music? Tell me your thoughts.
Is that where we're playing the music? Is it?
No, no. I'm asking you for your thoughts on this bit of music.
It's I put in the bracket of easy listening music.
Ghosts of Social Networks.
Mm.
Is that really the name for a band of easy listening music?
Well, I put it in the bracket of easy listening music. It's just
do you?
Yeah. That's my personal take on it. Other people might put it in.
This is your recommendation. I haven't actually heard this, so this is your recommendation. This is your musical taste.
It's what bubbled up to the top of the pot.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Ghosts. So if you want, and I haven't heard it, so I can't say, but Ghosts of Social Networks, I would have said, why don't you just call yourself GSN?
I think they do.
Do they?
Possibly.
All right. Anyway, this is a track called Love Potion, out on the 6th of May. There we are. Ghosts of Social Networks and Love Potion. Check them out on iTunes, I imagine. And Rob made a very good point to me, of course, because budgets are tight making podcasts like this. So we want free music.
Yeah, just send.
But it's your chance if you're trying to break into the music business to get a little play out on this program. Get in touch, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Same address for advertisers. You want to advertise, get in touch. Hundreds of thousands of millions, maybe trillions of people now listen to this.
How much is a trillion? I know what a billion is. What's a trillion? Yeah.
Well, a trillion is three times a billion, isn't it?
Or is it a billion billion?
I don't know. Well, a trillion, that's three, isn't it? Three.
Yeah. And a bit is what?
I don't know.
Okay.
A billion is 1,000 million, isn't it?
A billion is 1 million million if you're in the UK and 1,000 if you're in America.
All right. To be a millionaire in the UK, you have more money than if you're in America.
The same, isn't it? A million is the same. A billion is different.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. If you're a billionaire
in
Britain, you're wealthier than if you're a billionaire in America.
Correct.
Well, you are anyway, because the money is different.
Yeah. But
if you're a millionaire in America, you've only got about 500 grand over here.
A little bit more, maybe six or seven, I don't know. You're right.
I wouldn't mind being a millionaire in any country, to be honest with you.
Well, there are some countries where it's worth like 10p.
That's a very good point. I've got a little idea. Let's try one now.
Right.
If you'd like me to be a millionaire, send as much as you can afford to jameswhaleradio@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or go to our website and hit the PayPal button.
Yeah, that'll do.
That would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Is that what they call begging? Is that legal in the UK?
I don't know. No, that's crowdfunding, isn't it?
Okay.
Well, that's what you do on crowdfunding, isn't it? If you'd like to support this. So here's the business model is making me a multimillionaire.
So why don't we set up a proper crowdfunding where you do the video and everything and say, I'd like to be a millionaire, send me all your money.
Yeah, well, we could do that. That'd be quite funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because if I, there's a serious side to this. If I was a multimillionaire, think how many people I could employ.
That is true, yes.
You know, if you've got lots of money, you employ other people, don't you?
Can I be head of staff?
Yeah, okay. That'd be very similar to what you do now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I get paid, though.
Oh, yeah, well, you get paid. You don't get paid now. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
So, whatever you can afford, £1, £2, £5, just go to our website and you can donate it to us via PayPal, can't you?
So what's the magic figure? 1 million?
Yeah, we want to get £1 million by this time next week.
So I've got an idea. If I get £1 million and pay it in myself, I can get paid.
If we get £1 million by this time next week, I will pay you.
Okay, I'll start saving.
All right. What are you saving for?
So I can pay the £1 million in so I get some money.
You are stupid, aren't you?
Well, I figure that's the only way I'm going to get paid.
That's just ridiculous. That is ridiculous. So let's see if crowdfunding works. This is what people do. They say, I've got a brilliant idea. This is the idea. In this case, it's me being a multi-millionaire. Please send me your money.
Well, hang on.
You're
raising the stakes now. You want to be a multi-millionaire now.
Well, let's just start with 1 million. I don't know how it works. Start with 1 million and see how we do. And then if we get more than we need, then we can open up different radio stations and television stations. I can put my TV program back on it. It could be quite good.
Could we just start with 1 million first? Because I think that's achievable, but I don't think multi-million is.
All right. Okay. Well, let's start with 1 million. But if I only get 1 million, I won't be able to buy a yacht.
But you could rent one.
No, I mean, it's too expensive. If I bought a yacht, then I'd be able to employ people to run it and look after it.
And you could do your TV show from the yacht.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, let's start with 1 million, see how we go.
Okay.
All right, so if you could send me as much as you can afford by going to our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, click on the PayPal button,
mm-hmm.
and the rest is obvious, isn't it?
That, well, yeah, you just pay the money.
Yeah, Yeah, and we'll let you know next week. Don't let me forget, will you?
No, no, I won't let you forget.
Yeah, and just in case I become a millionaire before next week, make sure that I do come here to do the program because, you know, I might swan off.
Why? Why would you swan off?
Well, I don't know. I might suddenly think I've got so much money I don't need to work anymore.
But if you've got a money-making winner, then you might as well keep on going every week.
They do say the more money you make, the more money you want.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Right, let's press on. Junior doctors been on strike again, twice, but very, very few people seem to have sympathy with them. I don't want to go on about how wonderful they are and how marvelous they are and how they save your lives, because we all know that. Everybody knows that. But I'm just wondering what now. Doctors have had a dispute with the government are the employers, and the government are not going to back down. They've tried to change their mind, and the government have said, no, this is what we want. This is what's going to happen. And either you agree to this, they've had negotiations, they've changed their original stance, as I understand it, but the junior doctors don't like what the government are offering. And if I was a doctor, I probably wouldn't like it either. So the government, i.e. the employer, isn't going to move. So what do you do if you don't like it?
You negotiate.
Well, no. Once you've negotiated, the negotiations are finished, you haven't got everything you wanted, what do you do?
Well, in a normal job, you would look for somewhere else to work.
You would either say, right, okay, well, I tried, I couldn't get it, I asked for more money, I asked for less hours, whatever it is, and so I'm either going to say, get on with the job, accept the fact you haven't got it, or leave.
Yes.
Going out on strike over and over and over again isn't going to change the government's mind. It isn't going to do any good whatsoever. Never have. I don't think. Can you tell me when a strike actually worked?
No. All the strikes that I know of locally that have happened, they've all always lost their job in the end.
Yeah, I can't think of one strike that worked. So it's not that I don't support and love doctors. I do, wouldn't be here if it wasn't for doctors. But I just think that continuing strike action isn't going to get you anywhere. And I asked the question on Facebook. I said, are you losing patience with junior doctors? And this is what people said. Marin said, I am. In this dispute between the government and the doctors, the lives and treatments of the patients seem to have been forgotten. UCH in London hold their prostate cancer clinics on Wednesdays, and those who need chemotherapy receive it the same day. Sadly, I have first-hand experience as my darling late partner Ron was a patient there for several years, and there will be hundreds, if not thousands, of patients who will not receive their life-saving, lengthening treatment because of these strikes. And if Ron were alive today, we would both be extremely distraught, worried, and angry by these selfish strikes. The patient's well-being should come first. And I find that difficult to argue with, Marion. I really do. Russ Thomas says, maybe it's the consultants and the nurses who will most lose patients with them soon because they're filling in and doing the work, of course. Thomas Holliday says, no. Where would we be without them? They are the future of the NHS, and if they take their skills abroad, we will be in trouble. Then again, that's what Cameron and his pals are aiming for, so they can sell it off. They have made the big mistake of thinking the British public are stupid. I'm sorry, Thomas, don't agree with you, mate. I don't believe that for one moment. Any political party that damages the NHS will never get into power again. And they are, I think, concerned about the NHS. The NHS is not working very well. You ask any doctor, any nurse, anybody who works within the NHS, and I have family members who do, and they will tell you it's falling apart at the seams. The junior doctors have a point, but the government's not going to bend on this because they think it's a way of sorting the problems out. They think they're right, and the junior doctors think they're right. The NHS will never be sold into private hands. I can't see it happening. In fact, if anything, it's something that other countries are trying to do. I tell you what I think, though, if anybody's interested, I am. I don't think we pay enough. Because if we look at other countries, France, for instance, have a great health service. There's no waiting list. Hospitals are modern, and you get treated when you want. You go into A&E or their version of A&E, and there'll be somebody to see you. But then they all pay a lot more money than we do in their taxes towards their health service. And maybe things like going and seeing your GP, maybe there should be a £5 or £10 payment. I mean, if you can't afford it, if you're on benefits, then we'd have to relook at it. But maybe there should be a payment, and maybe some of the people who just go in for a chat, and there are people who do that, can be looked after elsewhere. Okay, Catherine Waite says, no, I'm not losing patience with them. This is the government's initial steps in changing all the contracts so that the whole thing can be split up and sold off. You see, Catherine, I just don't think that's at the back of their mind. It wouldn't work, and the public wouldn't stand for it, and they'd never get elected again. And they're not stupid. They must know that. Robert Martin Sr. says, definitely not. I'm right behind them. Angela Finley says, I'm not losing patience, but I am with the government. Denise Ahern says, yes, James, I am. I'm losing patience with the junior doctors. My husband works for B&Q and recently had to sign a contract stripping him of a whole month's salary per year or lose his job. B&Q are blaming the rise of the minimum wage, yet they are paying shareholders a £500 million dividend, and he had no choice but to sign. But he can't go on strike. He says he just has to quietly get on with it. Well, yeah, or he goes and finds a better job. Denise, I mean, there is that. And it goes back, this discussion with companies paying really small amounts of money where their staff have to claim benefits because the company doesn't pay them enough to live on so they can claim benefits, but has enormous amount of money to pay in dividends. That has to be looked at, and maybe the government should be looking at that as well. Daniel says, I'm frustrated by not getting a clear picture on the issue, even after talking to the people involved. Now, I've spoken to both the government and I've spoken to junior doctors on this, Daniel, and I am just as confused as everybody else. But they both are sticking their heels in, and if the government, NHS, they're the employers. And, of course, you know, it's... they can't give in. If they give in to one set of workers, they're going to have to give in to everyone. So doctors are intelligent. They must understand that. They either have to get on with it and hope that the government sorts the whole of the NHS problem out, which is probably going to cost you and me more money. And if junior doctors start leaving in droves, the government are seriously going to have to think again. And Sue says, what about the junior doctors who supported the strike until he read all 80 pages of the new contract? Having done so, he now does not support the strike. Now, that's an interesting point. Perhaps if we could get copies of the junior doctor's new contract and read through it, which I haven't been able to get a hold of a copy. If anybody's got one, you know my address, jameswellradio@gmail.com. Send me one and we can do that. But it is a strike that has to stop. I mean, I talked to somebody on another radio program I did the other day who's now had, he's got a problem with a tendon. His foot's not working properly. And he's not yet been to see the consultant, let alone have the treatment. It's probably quite an easy thing to sort out, but it's debilitating, can't walk properly, therefore he can't work properly, and he's in a lot of pain. He just needs to get an appointment to go and see a consultant. He's had it. He waited 4 months. He's just had it put off because of the strike. He's now had it put off again for the second time. These are the sort of things, not life-threatening. Nobody said it was. It's not life-threatening, but it's actually holding up his life. And how many thousands of people are in that situation as well? Okay, thank you very much indeed. If you've got some thoughts on that, you know how to get in touch. Please do. You're listening to James Whale's radio show that's available right here every week. And if you want to hear more, well, go to the website, jameswellradio.co.uk. And I think we've got over 100 programs there now, haven't we?
We have. This is 136.
What do you want to talk about? Oh, what about Tech Talk?
Tech Talk this week, I'm going to talk about the Dyson hairdryer.
Oh, hang on, just before we do that, weren't you going to do movie review or movie news?
I haven't seen any films yet.
Oh, okay, fine. Right, about the Dyson hairdryer.
Yes, the Dyson are launching a new hairdryer.
And does that suck your hair up?
No, it doesn't suck your hair up. It uses a different way of blowing the air on your hair, a bit like the Dyson vacuum cleaner, I suppose, does it a different way to all the other vacuum cleaners.
Well, there's only one way you can suck, and it's like that.
That is.
And there's only one way you can blow. It's like that.
And that was Tech Talk for this week.
Yeah. That's it, isn't it? Come on, get on with it.
No, it's
such a prima donna. You really are.
It's they've reinvented the hairdryer, and it's £299 though. That's the drawback.
Well, everything Dyson do is expensive, isn't it? And until somebody else copies it, and then the price comes down.
That is very true. So they are reinventing the hairdryer, something that probably you and I don't really need to use, really. So.
Well, you don't. I've got quite a lot of hair, actually. In fact, I'm going for a haircut when we finish. Well, I am.
Okay.
I am, yeah. I think it's looking a bit unwieldy, so I think I'll have a haircut, yeah. Right, okay. So what is it? Just blows differently? I mean, what you start telling us something, you don't finish it.
Well, the motor is in the handle, and the bit at the top where you would normally have the motor spinning around and blowing the air in is hollow.
Yeah.
So it's completely different. It's three times more powerful than normal hairdryer, apparently, but it's three times more expensive.
Burn your head?
I don't think it burns your head. No.
All right.
And it's very light.
Does your hair fall out after you've used it?
No, it doesn't fall out. It's very light. It's not very heavy.
Because they've got that new heater, the Dyson heater, which is just a circle, isn't it?
That's how the hairdryer is. It's a small one of those.
All right. Okay. Yeah, a friend of mine's got one of those. He gets very excited with it. I said, well, you might be excited with it. I would rather have one of those log fires.
With real flames.
With real flames, yeah, I like those.
They can't put real flames on your head though.
You just sit by the fire and your hair eventually get, or you drive around in a warm summer's evening if we get one with the windows open.
Yeah, you could do that, but then all your hair goes everywhere though.
Yeah, I suppose so. I just keep mine short.
Obviously, because you go to the hairdressers. Yeah.
Careful. Right. Well, the other thing, of course, that got everybody going this last week was President Barack Obama, who came to this country to have lunch with the Queen.
Oh, yeah. I remember, yeah.
And he has said, listen, I bet you want to know what the American president thinks about whether or not we should stay in the EU.
Well, I'm assuming he wants us to leave the EU and join America.
No, he wants us to stay in the EU.
Oh, he doesn't want us then.
Some people got very upset about it. Well, there's lots of people getting very upset about everything at the moment, aren't they? I mean, we've got to vote on this in about 8 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, I just do what you tell me. If you tell me to say...
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to do I? I mean, you've got people telling me, oh, well, we've got to vote to stay out so we can secure... I don't understand that. People say, well, we've got to stay in, otherwise the world will fall apart. Don't understand that. I don't understand. You see, nobody's telling me which way makes it better, except the people who are absolutely sure they know what they're talking about. And every single one that I have interviewed for or against, and I've interviewed a lot, really don't know what they're talking about.
Can I go in on the voting day and write, I don't understand, on the paper?
Yeah, but then that will be a spoiled vote. I tell you what I do want. I do not want to be talking about it after the referendum and saying, well, only 25, 30% of people turned out to vote, but this is what we're all going to have to abide by.
That is a bit disheartening, yes.
It is, isn't it? Mm. So I asked the question again and said, does anybody want to talk to me about that? Has President Obama's comments helped with your decision? With the EU referendum, and Anne Greenway says, last in line for business, but we'd be first in line if needed to go to war. I'm voting out. See, I don't understand that, Anne. Why would you say that? I mean, I heard his speech, and he just said, you know, don't assume that it'll be easier to do business with America if you vote to come out. And that's an interesting thing because loads of people who used to say, oh, well, I want to leave, we'd be far better off aligning ourselves with the Americans than with Europe. And I never understood that argument because we are part of Europe, aren't we?
We are, but I buy stuff from America all the time and I don't have to get in touch with the government first.
No, I know. I know. So I don't understand the problems with it at all. And there's something else to think about. You know, you say you don't have to worry about it when you trade with America. What about if you're on holiday in Europe and you get a little European card now where you can use hospitals in the same way we use the NHS? Would we be able to do that if we voted to come out?
I assume so, yeah.
And what about, no, we wouldn't. Of course we wouldn't. We'd have to change all of these, I assume. What about all those people who live in Spain and Italy and France, British people who live over there? Would they have to come back?
That's a good...
You see, nobody's answered all these questions. I want to know how we're going to be better off staying in or how we're going to be better off coming out. In fact, I had an argument the other day with a friend of mine, Jean-Jacques, who lives in Normandy in France, and I was in France for the weekend, and he's trying to start a campaign to leave the EU in France. There's exactly the same arguments going on in France as there are going on in Britain.
Well, maybe we could join a little club with the French.
Well, maybe. Maybe that's what we should be doing. The French, the Germans, the Italians, you know, the sort of the Northern Europe, the little bit nearest to us.
Classic Europe. That's what I call it.
Classic Europe. Blair Shaw says, nope, I'm voting out of the EU. It's ruined the industry I work in. And to add more salt to the wounds, the EU are taking the UK to tribunal over the lorry levy, where foreign trucks pay a tax for using UK roads. I don't see why we have to allow them free run when I have to pay to use their roads. Well, I don't understand why we don't just put toll booths up on the motorways and then cut the road tax. I'd rather do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, because I don't go anywhere, so yeah.
No, I know you don't. Rob Clark says, I personally believe that leaving the EU would mean Britain would lose all of the labour rights gained as a member. No forced overtime, parental leave, paid time off, etc. It would all go, and Britain would end up more like the US. No worker protection outside of a union. The unions become all powerful. Interesting point. Now, I hadn't thought about that, Rob. Rob, that is an interesting point. Sharon Cook says, no, my mind was already made up, but I do think he had no right to comment. He should sort his own country out first. Well, you know, Sharon, we're commenting on America all the time, aren't we? Look what we've all said about Donald Trump. Steve Black says, Obama had no right to delve into our issue. Stupid man had the cheek to tell us what to do. He wasn't telling us what. This is people only hear, don't you? People only hear. When I get criticized for doing things, and people only hear what they want to hear. He was asked his opinion, and he said, this is my opinion. If you want my opinion, this is it. And wouldn't we do the same? And don't we do the same? Tracy Mullins says, yes, it has convinced me even more that I am doing the right thing by voting out. Doesn't America interfere enough in things that are none of its business without starting on us? Matt Dudley would rather have Obama than Cameron. Obama is a hero. Simon Flynn says, yes, it's made me not listen. I see. Brian Bradbury, of course, we will stay for sure. Kathy Hall says, yes, he has changed my mind with his interfering. My vote is for voting out now. It was bad enough that Brussels have too much input in the UK without the threat of Obama. He soon changed his words when he realized people are not with him. What would change? What I asked somebody this the other day and they didn't really have an answer. What are the problems? What are the really big problems that Brussels levy on us? And there are many and lots, but nobody seems to actually know what they are. What are the main ones?
Bent bananas.
You see what I mean? Just inane, stupid comments like that.
Well, that's the only one I know.
But it's not true. It doesn't work like that.
Everything weighed in kilos.
Well, I never understood pounds, shillings and pence.
Nor did I. I wasn't around then.
Well, there we are. And surely kilos is easier than pounds and ounces, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose we'll have to change all the signs to kilometres instead of miles.
Well, we have, haven't we, in lots of places?
Have we?
I thought we had. Well, how do you know? You live in Wales. Everything's in duplicate over there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all. You have to read it twice. Lots more. Yeah. Lot more accidents over here.
Is that why?
Yeah, because you have to read the sign twice.
Ah, right. Okay. Is it time for my questions?
It is. It is.
Somewhere. Get on with it. Can you read them this time or not?
I'll have a go. I'm changing it from questions for the whale to questions and comments for the whale.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because people are commenting these days. I've got one from Damo McCoy here.
Yep.
It says, James and Rob, if you read this out, this means I've been on the show 3 weeks in a row. beat that. Very good. Listeners. In all seriousness, I've only just discovered the podcast and was a huge fan of your TV show in the early 90s. Here's to many more years. You're a legend.
Well, that just means you're old, but thank you very much indeed. And that you picked him because he'd been on before. You see, you got him on twice, eh?
I picked him this time because you mentioned my name.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what was his name?
Damo McCoy.
Damo McCoy.
And he's got an easy name to say.
Yeah. Well, it's one you've obviously rehearsed, isn't it?
Yes.
Damo, nice to know you're listening, mate. Thank you very much indeed. Next one.
Paul Rudd, if you had control of Saturday Night TV, what would you air from 5 p.m. onwards?
On which TV?
Saturday Night TV.
What would I air? I probably would put on, I would probably put on X Factor and Britain's Got Talent and a really good movie. And then after the movie, I put myself on.
So it's Britain's Got Talent, bit of variety, a good movie, and then the James Whale radio show.
On TV.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what we'll do when we take over. Yeah.
All right. John Scott, this might be another comment. Great show.
Well, that's. I don't think we should do lots of comments that say lots of nice things.
Okay, all right.
That's going to sound a bit pony, isn't it?
All right. John Scott, not a great show.
Great. Thank you, John. We'll try and improve.
I was listening to Talk Sport last week, and Martin Kellner gave you a mention about your old TV show you and him were a part of. Any chance of interviewing Martin?
Yeah, we could interview Martin, I suppose. He's been well interviewed, hasn't he?
I've never heard of him.
He's been well interviewed, yeah.
Who
yeah.
is he?
Martin Kellner. He used to work at a radio station I worked at in Yorkshire, in Leeds, back in the 80s. And he used to do the afternoon show, I think. And I think we had him on the show once. I can't remember, to be honest with you. But he and Alex Lester, who I used to live with, who used to work on that radio station, And we all had a reunion last Christmas, and he hit the headlines, Martin, that earlier this year, because he was unceremoniously let go by BBC Radio Leeds. Been there for 25 years, by the way.
Now that you mentioned all that, I remember everything.
Do you? Oh, good. Right. It's just names you have a problem with, isn't it?
It's names and faces. I'm not very good with faces. Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, David Hathaway.
Got to get my haircut.
Dave, that's going to take all afternoon, that. David Hathaway, why is it when you go to bed feeling perfectly fine and wake up the next day feeling like you've been run over by a truck?
Because you've slept too deeply, David. Try not to sleep quite as deeply.
Knacker all your muscles.
Yeah, that's it.
Dave Benjamin.
Yeah.
Marvel Universe or DC Universe?
Marvel.
Yeah, they got more characters in the Marvel one, and DC's got Superman in it. Yeah. It's stupid. Yeah. Karen Clift.
Hello, Karen.
Why isn't Top Cat still shown on TV?
I wonder that. Put Dad's Army on. Why can't you still put on Top Cat? Top Cat. The irresistible Top Cat. Yeah, I'd like to see Top Cat. I used to like that as a kid.
There's a new movie coming out soon. See, there's a bit of movie talk for you.
Really? Okay. What, Top Cat movie?
Top Cat movie, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of cats.
Yeah?
Do you remember a few weeks ago we mentioned Pussy Willem?
Pussy Cat Willem.
Yeah.
Pussy Cat Willem was a glove puppet.
Yeah, and they made a book about it.
Oh, did they? Oh, I didn't know. And it was one of the first ever TV announcers, and a woman called Muriel Young, and she had this as a sort of a bit of a... Pussycat Willem was her version of Rob.
Good-looking cat, then.
Yeah, well, it wasn't exactly like you, yeah.
Well, anyway, I Googled it.
Oh, good.
I wish I hadn't.
Did you see... oh, gosh, I've forgotten her name now. Young. What did I say her name was?
Miriam Young.
Muriel Young. Not yeah. Muriel. Muriel.
See, I told you I was lousy with names.
Yeah, you are, aren't you? You really are. Right, I think we've finished, haven't we?
We have, yes.
Don't forget, check out the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. If you would love to get in touch with us for all sorts of reasons, whether you're a radio station, you're putting out the programme, or you want to. What was that?
That was me moving the paper because I finished. I was just casting it to the side.
Yeah. So whatever you want, all you've got to do is get in touch with us here, jameswellradio@gmail.com. And we are still working on bringing back the James Well TV show. And as soon as we know more about that, we will let you know right here.
Indeed.
Good. Right. I'm off for a haircut.
You can have a lot taken off, or you.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have my summer haircut. I'm gonna have it shaved right off to the bone, shaved to the bone.
To the bone.
To the bone. Yeah. Right. Go away.
I've gone.
Listening to the James Well Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswellradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWellRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWell. James Well, the voice of reason.